Imagine traveling back to a time before the internet, before Mountain Dew Livewire, and before the Neo post-apocalypse. This summer, Apocalypse Video asked the question, where were you in 1982?
I mean, what happened? How did everything that was so good get so bad?
A time when men were men.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
Women were women.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
And mice could talk.
My son Timothy is so sick.
Join us all summer long as we celebrate the box office hits and misses of 1982. The date is May 21st, 1982. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts are tearing up the Billboard charts with I Love Rock and Roll, and a rambunctious little redhead is about to light up the box office as she regales us with the details of her hard knock life. The film is Annie, and it's only a commercial break away.
Why any kid would want to be an orphan is beyond me.
Annie's got it all. All the fun. All the power. All the knockouts.
Who's next?
All the music. All the romance.
Wouldn't you like to see the bedroom? That little billiard ball?
All the laughter.
Leaping lizard!
No! All the excitement. It's Annie. And you haven't seen Annie until you've seen the movie, rated PG.
Can I just do a commercial?
Hello and welcome to another installment of Where Were You in 1982?
That was seamless.
Voice of an angel.
I'm your host, Dave, and I have about as much business to talking about a musical as John Houston does directing one. Boo! I'm just kid.
Get him.
I kid.
Get him.
But I'm your host, Dave. Thanks for joining us for another installment of Where Were You in 82? The summer films of 1982, one of the most successful summer film seasons in cinema history. But does this film stack up to the history that, that I just laid out? We'll find out. I'm joined again by Ryan.
Dave, did you clean the can?
She had to go to the bathroom.
You want a knuckle sandwich?
I'm also joined by Jackie.
We're not having hot mush today. We're having cold mush.
And I'm joined by the ever horny Michael.
Wow.
What? Where did that come from?
What an accusation.
Because Miss Harrigan is so horny in this movie.
Why am I Miss Harrigan?
Isn't it Hannigan?
Yeah, it's Hannigan. Why am I Carol Burnett? I mean, you ruined my quote, Dave.
You are wearing like a racy little slip right now. Don't lie.
Yeah, you got.
You
your,
did draw on your eyebrows like that. You had to know the comparison was coming.
You're starting this out almost as unhinged as this movie is.
Okay, well, what's your quote, Mister?
Ah, blow it out, you old wazoo.
You should have just responded with that from the top. Okay, so you
shocked
just hit
him.
On something. So if anyone recalls the beginning of Airpool, when we talked about Air Force One, it was revealed that Mike, there was an asterisk next to his rating because he was under the influence of DayQuil and was suffering an illness at the time while watching that film, which may or may not have affected his thoughts on the film.
That is
Flash
true.
Forward to May. Where were you in 82? We're talking about Annie. I foolishly took an edible before watching Annie. I have never seen Annie before. I've
first
heard the song, you know.
You're familiar with.
I'm familiar with the song. It's a Hard Knock Life.
You've lived in this world, of course.
I figured, like, I had an idea of what this movie probably was. A rich family adopts Annie, you know, rambunctious little kid. She teaches them things and et cetera, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting what we got. This, I don't know what to make of this. And watching a film like this, we'll get into what this where this movie goes while under the influence. It made me question, like, is this just what all musicals are like, or is it just this movie is fucking weird?
you're right, Dave. All musicals have Franklin Delano Roosevelt in them.
Eleanor,
I can't
just
sing.
Sing about tomorrow, clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow. Till there's
no. So long for the president. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray. And lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, everybody, Republicans too, Oliver, sing.
The sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow.
Dave, I don't know what strength that edible was, but this isn't that weird a musical.
It gets pretty weird. I think it's crazy, though, that you haven't seen this. I didn't realize that this is a first time.
I think I just wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for
You didn't know about Daddy Warbucks?
No, I've heard that name before. I wasn't prepared for how real this gets and how fucked up this movie is. Like Mrs. Is it Harrigan or Hannigan?
Hannigan.
And Miss.
I fluctuated at times with this movie. Like, Carol Burnett plays, like, this, like, horny, consistently
boozer.
Drunk... abusive person who owns this orphanage or whatever she whatever
runs
it.
I don't know.
Fluctuated because the way the movie is depicting the kids at times, like in the second half of this movie, it seems as if it almost switches, and Carol Burnett almost seems like a victim trying to live in a house where kids are like in the walls and like coming out of the closets, you know, like. Just like falling out of rooms, and just like she can't escape these damn kids.
She sings a whole song about it.
This sounds like the edible talking, Dave.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, do I need to rewatch this movie?
The kids are in the
from
walls.
Her perspective, I think that's a good call. You know,
yeah.
It is a
from her perspective, she is a victim of circumstance and all these things. And to the orphans, she is she's a horrible witch.
She's kind of though pretty crazy in this. I would say, like, they.
Yeah,
I
she
think
is.
I was trying to see, like, because I've seen the play, and this is a movie that it played on TV a lot, and you'd catch bits and pieces, you know, over the years. But so. I think it probably plays better in that way, I think, in my opinion. But I think from what I was reading that people didn't like how she was portrayed in this movie. You know, she doesn't really... I think in the play, she kind of has like a switch. She's a little more nuanced of a character. Mm-hmm. And this is just like she's sort of...
well,
like,
fuck you! She's kind of her vibe in this movie.
She's drinking like vodka out of flower vases.
I think Carol Burnett is having fun with like... how awful this character is. Like, I think they really lean into it, and it's like, it's very cartoonish and silly and funny.
Well, this movie is very cartoonish, and if you're under the influence of an edible, this movie comes off like a fever dream.
What if that's what you have to do when you do this.
I
that's
disagree,
this movie.
My man.
Every character in this movie is playing it at 11. And this,
yeah, that's a musical.
Well, I know, and that's what I did have the presence of mind towards the end to be like, is this just what a musical is like?
Well, I don't necessarily think so. I think you're onto something that this movie is a little bit of like this, especially at the time of it coming out. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than I think that like other musicals of like the 50s are in a weird way.
Like at the end, like Daddy Warbucks, for instance, is bringing that what energy to everything. Like, but
it is
Mr. Warbuck, the people who adopted Annie are bad people. What are bad people? What are they talking to the car? Let's go.
What now?
I think he's a highness.
Your highness, we're friends of Annie's.
Annie's gone.
Oh, no!
Her parents came and took her away.
But they wasn't her real parents, mister. They was
sleeping lizards.
I think even in the 50s they would have been like, this is too much. Like
you guys are rewriting history here, because especially as a throwback musical, which this is for the 80s, it's exactly in time with what it is throwing back to. I can see how that is out of place in 1982 and the future in that.
Well, yeah, and I have to point out, this is not a 50s musical. This musical is from the 70s.
Yeah, but it's also based off of like
the Busby Barkley and like
that's the throwback. Yeah,
it's a comic, right?
Yeah, but I think it was from I was doing a little bit of Chattopedia. There's like a poem from the 1800s. This is based off of, and then there was the comic book and the radio show. Remember in damn Christmas story, little orphan Annie.
Oh, like, that's the same Annie. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same
She's
Annie.
She's been around.
A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch.
So she's like, yeah, she's like a character. And so the musical, when it came out in the 70s, was like a huge fucking thing, you know, okay. And like a new thing.
Oh, that's the musical based off that poem.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think the issue, another issue I had with this movie while watching it was just like, everyone is so over the top. Everyone's a cartoon character. There's never a moment where I felt it got real. Like the emotion felt real to me. It didn't feel real to me because everything was so cartoony.
Well, it's kind of funny because what you're saying about Daddy Warbucks is that in the play, apparently he's not played like this yelling guy. I can't remember this, but he's more subdued. He's more of like this, very controlled, like kind of like needs to be his shell taken or his like his wall taken down. Like a very like studious kind of like. What do you like? Kind of guy,
I think this one they're kind of playing it like he's so busy and he's not stopping to smell the roses. Like he's not.
But this is a cartoon. He's like, watch. I have to look at my stock ticker. This stock, this sell.
It is a cartoon.
There's like a moment where
they're throwing bombs and stuff.
That's the idea, though, is like he's not. He needs Annie to like stop and smell the roses and like stop
well,
and like
know,
look around.
I know
and...
that's the idea, but like when it's played so cartoonishly,
well,
like
no,
I
his,
just
he,
don't
he has
buy
a magical, magical, you know, bodyguard.
He's got two
and
magical
stuff.
Ethnic butlers. Yeah.
That's also That's also a new character to this movie too, and everything.
That's not in the poem. Pooja
that's not in the play. That's not in the thing. There's like all this. There's extra songs. Like going to the movies is a new song. Like all these things are.
That.
Like okay,
well,
sorry.
Let's,
I just,
let's get into it. Let's get
crazy.
Into it.
There's
let's
so
get to
much
the plot.
To talk about with this movie.
Everybody, shut up.
Jackie, could you confirm what I just watched was real by going over a plot synopsis?
Yes. We could talk about the cartoonishness, but you guys are really making a mountain out of a molehill here, I have to say. So we start with forlorn little orphan named Annie, and she's she lives in an orphanage, but she has parents, or at least she remembers, you know, having parents, and she's got like this half of a locket that they have the other half, and she's waiting to they're gonna
she's
come back
Annie
for
from
her.
Nowhere.
Yeah,
Annie from nowhere. She's singing about like I bet my parents are like smart and
they're
beautiful.
Palpatines, you know.
Yeah, they're Palpatines. she's also it's funny this first scene where she's like. Looking out the window at the stars and singing about her parents, and then the other orphans are like that one other
Shut
orphan.
Up.
She's like, "Shut up, Anne! I'm trying to fucking sleep."
I had the exact same thought. I was like, "We're trying to sleep down here."
But she's also, you know, some of the girls
I
are
bet
annoyed.
They're smart,
but also Annie's a comforting presence to some of the younger girls, and we get overall that they live
loved.
In.
She's beloved.
And they live in cartoonishly horrific conditions in the orphanage run by insane drunkard Miss Hannigan, who makes them clean the whole building top to bottom. They live a very hard knock life. I don't know if you're
It is portrayed
familiar
like a prison.
This.
Like there's a moment where like Annie, like do you know the little girl's name? Like Annie's like Bud?
Molly is the little one who.
Okay, Molly is portrayed as just like the prison inmate who's always getting the shit kicked out of her, and yeah. Annie's like the buff one. Like, do I gotta cut a bitch? Come on, get away from her.
She's back. Annie knows how to fight, as we see later in the film. Yes. She's not afraid to throw hands.
Annie will fuck you up.
She will. It's the depression. She's an orphan. Like, what has she got to lose? She'll fucking kick your ass anyway. So they even though they live this terrible life in the orphanage, they do sing some nice songs about
it. This is where we get Hard Knock Life, right?
Which is a banger. Like,
I think it like is, the yeah.
This was great.
Hard Knock Life. I think not to skip to the end, and I'll hold my cards a bit, but I think Hard Knock Life, Tomorrow, and Let's All Go to the Movies or whatever that is. I think those are the only ones. Like those songs, I feel like really
those are the winners.
Stand out amongst the rest of the songs in this one.
I can't wait until we get to the movies.
But... We will, and we'll get there. but
yeah, incredible song, and I love. This is one of the moments where I think the direction really worked well for me. Like the choreography with the Hard Knock Life
with
is cool,
the kids.
And it's shot in a way where you can like see it and. Like, understand the choreography.
I gave fake shade to John Huston at the beginning. I think he directed the hell out of this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, working with so many kids at once is always going to be, like, a trial. But, yeah, during, like, this musical number, you see, like, there's girls in the background doing, like, acrobatics and shit.
They're, like, swinging on the lights.
Swinging on the lights. Like, yeah. Doing, like, cartwheels.
Spinning. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's super chaotic. It reminds me of, like, an Altman movie, like a Robert Altman movie almost. With like how much chaos is going on in all the scenes, and like you could probably watch this a couple times and like pick up on different look at different things.
Sure, yeah.
And I do love like the Houston-ness of it all. I don't know if this is, you know, who knows if he is why the movie looks the way it does, or if it's the cinematographer or what. But I do have some issues with overall how this movie looks in certain times. But I love. The dreariness of this sequence I think the dreariness and the kind of like I don't know grim 70s vibe that I think a lot of the filming has works really well in all this stuff.
Oh yeah, you feel it. You feel the life of these orphans.
It's very much like, you know, we're talking 82 here, but I think something that we might be seeing more of, I think we saw some of it with Rocky, is like we're in the 80s, but it's still the 70s. You know what I mean? Like,
it's early 80s.
This feels to me like I think we get some glimpses of what the 80s would be, especially with like the Warbucks stuff. But like, I think this sequence, like this whole beginning part, feels like a 70s movie.
Well, I don't think it's not at all. It's not even 60s. I think it's way back. I think because none of this was going on for 20 years.
But a 50s movie. I just mean the way it looks. Like
I don't think it does, because
a 50s movie would look so much more like vibrant and colorful. Like this is like very like it almost looks like The Godfather.
Well,
just like the way the shots look.
I agree that the first number, that's I think the intentional art direction of this very, you know, dreary orphanage. But we get to color certainly and pizzazz, but I think you're right, Ryan, where it is intentionally this very like golden age musical throwback.
Like I think I brought this up where I was watching on TCM what's her name, Mills, from the Parent Trap, what's that?
Oh, Haley Mills.
I was watching one of her movies that I'd never seen, where she's like at a nunnery kind of thing. What the hell's that called?
Convent.
And, yeah. And,
Black Narcissus.
Yeah, it's like Black
Narcissus.
She was
in that, yeah.
This is what this looks like, that movie. It's really right before the new, like, it's these kind of throwbacky movies, like, Mike, what you're talking about, how, like, this run over of, like, there's still movies in the mid-60s that are, like, looking like these big, huge, like, kind of kids movies kind of thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie has other stuff that it looks like Godfather, like you're talking about, but also is in this other zone that is, like, almost like, we're sick of this look kind of vibe, you know, kind of thing. I think that's what people were... I was trying to put myself in, like, the shoes of people that watched this, because this movie was, like, not really received well at the time. And I was kind of thinking, like, everyone, I think, was just like, what is this shit? Like, this is too much. Like, this is, like, Wicked for good, you know what I mean? Like, of the time, you know what I think? Where people are like, this is too much, this is too big, Like, there's these extra songs and stuff.
I wish our Wicked for Good looked like this movie.
I know. So, it's I'm just kind of trying to, like, I kind of get a little bit of that. There's other stuff I love in this movie. There's also stuff where I'm just like, are we still, like, in this, we're in the song and dance with, like, where I love Tim Curry and freaking
Bernadette Peters. Them but, like, showing up, I love, but then, yeah, the musical numbers so with them, I'm like, guys, let's get going. Let's move on.
And so that's where I'm kind of like, that's when I think people are feeling, like, looking at their watch kind of thing.
I don't disagree.
Other than that, like, I do like you guys, it's what you guys are right, though. It does look different. And I think it is a little bit this, like, what we're talking about, the start of, like, the 80s blockbuster that's, like, overstuffed blockbuster is, like, what this movie is.
Between two worlds, I would say, of ways.
It's like a middle movie.
But, so back to the plot. Miss Hannigan, one little detail about her in a whole cauldron of insane things about Miss Hannigan. She makes the orphans say, "We love you, Miss Hannigan," and then she just says, "Shut up." It's like, oh man, I think this lady's got problems.
Can I just real quick before we move on to the, so in the beginning when Annie is singing her song and she's basically telling, like, Molly, right?
Molly's like, yeah, her friend.
Molly's like, it's gonna be okay. There's a moment when, like, before Miss Hannigan comes in and all the kids are going crazy. There's a moment where this like bully girl steps on a girl's face.
Oh, she steps on several kids' faces.
Yeah, I remember that. There is one face in particular that, like,
she smushes that girl.
That a face got stepped on.
Yeah,
that is a girl,
like,
stepped on a girl's face.
We don't see the top half of her body, but it got me wondering, like,
died.
She literally stepped on that girl's face, full stop.
That girl had to be excused from set.
They're kids, Dave. They got soft bones,
That's true.
They're probably fine.
They smush each other all the time.
I was like, is that kid all right? Oh my God, are we watching like Faces of Death here?
Oh, that kid's fine.
Annie's got a body count. And she'll
kill
again.
I just wonder if that was John Huston's, like, step on her face! Harder!
We want realism!
I made African Queen, goddammit!
Carol, I want you to slap her full across the face.
Today's kid's got no grit.
Make contact! Anyways, The girls, they come up with this plot, or they've got this pre-existing plot with the laundry man to smuggle Annie out of the house, out of the orphanage. And so she goes on this...
Annie's a chosen one.
Well, she's, somewhat of a ringleader. And
she's the only one with a little color, and everyone else is gray.
Yeah, I do really like, as we're talking about the details of the colors and whatnot, I do like her little orphanage get-up at the beginning before she gets
initially,
new
I thought
fun
she was
clothes.
Wearing, like, that episode of The Simpsons. I thought she was wearing a burlap sack.
Basically.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, she's walking around with, like, dirt on her face and in rags and is pretty quickly spotted by, like, a cop who's like, it's illegal to be an orphan or something. But before, she's evading him, she sees some little boys who are terrorizing a scruffy dog with, like, cans tied to its tail or something. They're just, like, torturing an animal for fun.
This is a horrible world.
It's the 1930s.
It's the,
like,
Depression.
Shit is rough.
It's the Great Depression, Dave.
A horrible world because she saves this dog because Annie has a thing in her. It's like, if I'm seeing injustice, I must correct it. But then after saving a dog, she immediately starts singing a song, "You're a dumb dog."
Well, she's...
Oh, we cannot gloss over
That's
the
a new
saving
song
of the
too.
Dog.
Yeah, of course.
The saving of the dog is one of Annie is a movie I feel like most people my age I saw it a bunch, which again I'm surprised you didn't ever see this, Dave. This was
he
I
was
feel
watching
like one that
people
was just
get splattered at the time, you know.
Yeah,
he's
I
like,
guess
I don't
you were
see
you
some
were watching
girl
the Friday
sing.
Friday the 13th, and I was watching Annie. But this is the saving the dog is not a scene I remember. Like, I feel like I remember most of this movie, but not this. I'm wondering if it was cut out of the TV ones, but
probably because
she like Street Fighter level punches this dudes. It's so crazy. The like,
bow, 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 bow.
Like, it's not just like that she kicks ass, but the way she kicks ass and the punching specifically was so funny. And like the sound effects on the punches are so good.
Annie has done time and she knows how to fight.
It's so good that she's taking on these like this like gang of like she's like a kid, and these are like preteens.
She's like 10, yeah, and it's a group of like tween boys, and she's just like...
Kicks their ass.
I'll take you all.
Come on. All right, who's next?
Quick as lightning.
Anybody else?
Scram, man.
Let's go.
Then get lost.
Like, I had a thought watching, like, after I was done with this movie, I was kind of flipping around and I kind of watched like the first like 10 minutes of They Came Together. Mm. Or no, They Come Together or They Came Together.
I don't know this one.
They Came Together.
Wait, is this the like Amy that Poehler, romantic Paul Rudd, comedy? Yeah.
Yeah. The Amy Poehler, Paul Rudd, like romantic comedy spoof movie. And watching the first 5-10 minutes of that movie, I'm like, this is just like Annie. Like, Annie is playing at the same level of ridiculousness. You know what I mean?
Well, but that's, you know, the heightened world of a musical where when you can't express your feelings with words, you have to start singing, being the kind of internal logic. It's, that's why
but we're... You're not going to this for, like, gritty realism. Like, this isn't, Scorsese.
There is one moment in this movie where, like, it felt like the emotionality came through and it got to me. It came through, like, the Looney Tunes, like, smoke haze, and it actually felt like a real...
So you said you had an edible, right? Did it kick in, like, before you put the movie on, or was there a point in the movie that it kicked in?
No, I had taken it maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes before I turned the movie on.
Okay.
I was like prepping a meal. I ate. And so it was hitting.
So you're from minute go. Yes. It's on. Okay.
This pod is more about your edible than it is the movie.
Yes.
Annie saves the dog, sings a frankly boring song about, you know, you stupid dog, I hate you, fuck you.
I'll be honest, I forgot the dog.
But then,
song.
Of course, you know, she loves the dog. She
There's a dumb dog and Sandy song. Like, do we need two dog songs?
We don't. We simply do not.
Yeah, I thought that too.
And then, you know, she's like, oh, you stop following me, dog. But then a dog catcher's like, I'm gonna take it. She's like, no, that's my dog.
Another predator shows up.
So many predators in this. Well, it's New York. You know, they end up back at the orphanage with the dog. The little girls, of course, are all like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Another boring song about naming the dog. Then, finally, the plot starts, and Grace...
Maybe this is my state of mind at the time, but I seem to remember thinking, like, oh my God, like, is there a suggestion that Mrs. Hannigan is going to, like, kill and eat that dog and force them to eat the dog?
I think that was your state of mind at the time.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
I feel like
I got the vibe that she might get rid of the dog. I think that was the extent of
I mean, she's
I don't think there was any implication of killing, butchering, preparing to cook, and then feeding the children
dog. Come on, the world of musicals, Sweeney Todd, meat pies. Come on, we can have Sandy pies.
I love you, Miss Hannigan.
And you will love the paddle closet, Annie. And this will love the sausage factory. What?
We love you, Miss Hannigan.
Shut up.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if she was literally going to feed the dog to the orphans,
The trademark... elements of musicals do not include cannibalism or like butchery of
meat.
Literally to cut both of you off, she does literally reference, I'm going to send this dog to the sausage factory, or maybe one of the kids says that. That doesn't mean that she was going to personally cook the dog, but yes, she is threatening or whatever. Anyway, both of you shut
Jackie,
the fuck up.
She's eating the dogs.
Anyway, that's when the plot starts, and Daddy Warbucks's secretary, Grace, shows up. She's like, my boss, Mr. Warbucks, needs an orphan for a week. Can I get an orphan?
There was a depressing line in there where she says something about Warbucks, and Carol Burnett's like, oh, is that the millionaire? And he's like, oh, it's a billionaire. And it just made me think, like, man... No one even cares if you're a millionaire. Like, that's like nothing now.
The way this is shot, too, like when she shows up to the orphanage, like in the limousine, people come out like they're zombies. They're like, oh, limousine. Let's not. They swarm this limousine. Like, the way they're depicted,
I mean, if
is
you
so
live
funny.
In like a fucking tenement and you send dogs to the sausage factory, you would be in
the depths
awe
of the Great
of
Depression
of a limousine. You would tear that dog limb from limb and eat it. Don't pretend.
You know, I'm watching this. When she shows up, I was very distracted because she's dressed up and looks exactly like a character in 1977 Suspiria.
She does kind of have that Suspiria look of the soft brown hair.
Is like done in a way, and the outfit she's wearing, she looks like the administrator of the dance school in Suspiria.
Well, and then eventually she gets to let her hair down.
I love her outfits. Actually, I love the outfits in general for this movie. I think there's really good costumes. But I love Grace's outfits, especially like I feel like when she shows up, she has like a safari hat on or something.
She's got like a silly little.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So why does billionaire Warbuck need an orphan?
For like a PR stunt.
PR stunt. Like the reporter there taking the pictures and stuff. And like,
yeah, because the plan is again, remember at the beginning of this movie, he's barely even thinking about it. This is more Grace's project.
Yeah.
But it's to rehabilitate his image. So it's like, oh,
because
I'm
he's
taking
anti-New
care
deal.
Of the impoverished kids. You know, I'm like being a good citizen or philanthropist or whatever.
So there's a back and forth between Hannigan and Grace where she's like, oh, you don't want Annie sucks, and she you know, I hate her, I would kill her personally if I could. And then Grace is like, I'm gonna take Annie.
It does seem to be, correct me if I'm wrong, Jackie, Carol Burnett, Miss Hannigan, the only reason she doesn't want them to take Annie is spite for Annie.
Yeah.
She doesn't want Annie to be happy.
She doesn't want Annie to have a nice week living in a rich person's house.
I do love
fuck Annie.
How, like, Simpsons character level. Like, I love how much Miss Hannigan hates Annie.
Her enemy is a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah. That is her Joker to Miss Hannigan's Batman.
And Grace is like, yeah, no, I'm gonna take Annie. And so Annie gets to set off on this week-long, you know, stay in a billionaire's Fifth Avenue,
capitalism
estate or whatever.
Is great.
There was something I this is like a small detail, but I was thinking this, and then I'm like, I think this is what is happening. So that when they go to Daddy Warbucks's like estate, you see from the exterior, it's like this palatial estate, right?
And he says, is this a train station?
Yeah, and it's like, it's got a yard and everything. And my first thought is like, oh, I guess they left the city. But then I was like, wait a minute, it's the 30s. Manhattan still had places like this. And then that is confirmed later in the movie where the orphans like run, basically. They're able to walk over to Daddy Warbucks' house. And I just want my soapbox. People should set more movies in this time in Manhattan. I think that's a really interesting time where it's like, on Manhattan, you still had like
that's too
Manhattan,
difficult a set to build.
But also like houses and like yards and stuff.
We've got one old-timey street block on the lot, and that's
it was driving me nuts. I'm like, I've seen this block in another movie before.
Of course.
I couldn't place it.
Well, yeah, it's a back lot.
Yeah.
But so we get this big bombastic musical number of like all of the servants in Warbucks' mansion are like, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And Michael pointed out that, like, they are still doing Hard Knock Life. It's just that their lives, like, you know, you know, the shiny version of it. Because they're still, all these people are servants.
Yeah, it's the Hard Knock Life, but it's the servants, not the orphans.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's, he has a lot of staff.
He does.
It's like dozens of people.
Yeah. And
there's a lot of folks there.
Some really fun.
They seem happy.
I mean, at the very least, you assume they're being paid a wage, unlike the orphans. But
maybe.
And now, if I could interject with my high color commentary.
Oh, yes.
While this scene is going on, I'm watching it from the perspective of like, oh my God, like this has the vibe of like, oh, we have another child sacrifice. Perfect.
Oh my God, you are in another world.
You are in a dark place.
You're watching this like the end of Midsommar.
Yeah, you're
yes.
Because again,
oh, they're
going to
sacrifice
it,
her.
That is not the vibe. That is not the vibe of the movie.
Well,
I gotta say.
To be honest, there's a moment where they're like, "We got Annie. We got
yes,
Annie.
Yes,
yeah,
we
got okay.
Annie. We got Annie."
The vibe on that, I agree. This is a little weird.
That's a new song honestly, too, apparently.
I didn't.
Dave's
I don't think
finally
I sent this to
finally them. Untensed up from like, okay, they're not going to kill the dog. Oh my God,
they're gonna kill Annie! Like, honestly, my whole vibe, I didn't send this video to the chat when I was watching this in my ISO tube, but honestly, everyone's vibe in this movie is like, it's like everyone's been inflicted with that curse from that Smile movie where they're like, just, everyone has the energy where they're just grinning like riftus grin.
And
we got Annie.
If we don't grin, then Daddy Warbucks, hunts us for sport on his grounds.
He does seem like someone who would do that.
He loves the most dangerous game.
But that's my mindset watching this scene, like, we got Annie.
Okay, we're not at We Got Annie yet. We're first just we're, you know, showing Annie around like the beautiful mansion, and they're like, oh, we'll get you satin and silk bed things and new dresses, and
we even
and,
have a wizard who has telekinesis.
We do have a telekinesis
wizard. We're off to see the wizard.
That is true. And then
my notes while directing this movie, I thought the movie could use a wizard.
I thought that would be cool. And I think like in the middle of that, Daddy Warbucks comes home and he's just like, "What's all this?" And Grace is like, "Oh, I got you that orphan for that thing we talked about." And he's just like, "Ah, I wanted a boy orphan. I don't need a little girl around." And
well,
then
I need the child's blood to survive longer.
He does bathe in the child's blood. But then Annie's just like, "I think you should let me stay." And he's like,
"I'm a little spunky girl.
I'm kind of a spunky little
yeah,
girl."
Yeah, she basically like charms her way into his and heart. And I like this yeah. bit. I like this. I think she is charming. I think like. It kind of makes sense why the character, like, yeah, I think Annie and Warbucks have good chemistry.
Yeah.
She basically appeals to his inner, like, conservative. She basically says, like, "I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps." She's like, "Wow, I like that.
I do like that." Yeah, she's
pretty
like,
cool for
I
a Republican.
Yeah. I understand manipulation just a bit. and so they're like, he's like, "All right, you can stay for the week." I think like the next scene is they're in the swimming pool and he's just like,
"Oh,
I'm swimming
God.
Alone," and Annie's just like, "Too bad, I'm here." He was like, "Well, all right." And
if you needed an example of how rich this guy was, it's the 30s and he has an indoor swimming pool.
Yeah,
you can tell he's a billionaire too because he never works.
Well, no, he looks at tickers and he goes, "Oh, I gotta close a shop in Pittsburgh."
That's all he does other than just hanging out.
He hangs out.
He records himself just talking, hangs out. And then his minions write down things. Stuff.
They write yeah. down things. I forget the exact order of this, but we get a couple scenes of like, "I'm Daddy Warbucks. I'm trying to do capitalism." And then Annie comes in. She's just like, "Well, I'm a spunky little girl, and I think you should pay attention to me." And he's just like,
"What about
what?
Communism?"
There is the gag of a would-be assassin throws a Boris and Natasha ass bomb. Into
I love
them.
To
they're
yeah, like
this was wild
and I love they're like, "Why'd they do that?" And they're like, "Because they
the Bolsheviks
the Bolsheviks are upset about you because they Daddy Warbucks, your existence shows that the American way is the right way."
It's quite tongue
the
in cheek.
Bullshit, Bolsheviks, whatever.
The Bolsheviks,
Bolsheviks,
yeah. The communists,
the communists,
the
commies,
the commies. But you know, we yeah,
it's
we
a get, it's a real like they bombed us because they hate our freedom.
They hate our freedoms. and we do also get throughout before we get to the man himself, but that Daddy Warbucks is like always arguing with FDR about the New Deal because he's anti New Deal.
Yeah, he's very anti. You know, Warbucks is like child labor laws. Huh.
He's really like.
What's this about a 40-hour work week?
Welfare is
minimum wage. It's kind of funny. I've looked the actor that plays FDR a few years before this was in a mini series called Eleanor and Franklin. So like those two actors, it's like they're like famous. like for playing on like ABC show, like ABC
really
miniseries.
FDR.
So that was then. Well, that was FDR.
This was another like big moment in the movie watching this stone.
Well,
like,
you know,
oh
you know
God, he's talking to the president now.
You know who this is, right? The
FDR,
FDR guy. No, but the
it's
FDR.
Franklin Del. Oh,
no, the actor playing FDR. He's the voice of the History Channel and the grandfather in Gilmore Girls.
Oh, and he's in Lost Boys. He's the head vampire.
What?
Isn't he?
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
He is. He is in Lost Boys, yeah.
Damn.
Joel Schumacher's Lost Boys.
Damn.
Is he in Lost Boys? I don't know.
Yes, it's him. Edward Herman.
That's Edward Herman.
That's a great name. Yes, we're get a couple scenes of Daddy Warbucks warming up to like actually maybe this orphan isn't so bad.
I guess that's before they read the president, they do the movies thing. Which,
they do so, go to the movies.
So I guess this is replacing New York. I think them going just out in the town and this is where. It's just kind of
Isn't
interesting.
It great to be rich. La la la.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, and so instead, they do this kind of movies thing. I think because the play takes place during Christmas, and so it has a lot to do with that.
Oh, okay, yeah. And this is we get to go to Radio City, and we.
Well,
see
I thought I would interrupt the movie and just play an old movie for way too long.
Yep. It's kind of crazy because none of them are singing like our main three, you know.
And I don't think the movie that they're watching necessarily has any parallels with the movie.
I was trying to figure that out. Did you guys have any figure that out?
No, I think we just needed like because we're already in a like, you know, putting the family together vibe for that scene because it's Warbucks and Grace and Annie and it's like we're gonna go out on the town to the movies together and it's so exciting and flashy but the movie is you know kind of romantic and so the two adults get a little swept up and Annie falls asleep because she's a little kid and so they get to have the you know again like we're playing house here we're doing all this but I do love the big extended
I do love going to the movies
song and dance I love going to the movies. I love the Rockettes showing
why movie
up.
Movie theaters are failing because, like, when you walk into a movie theater, it should be like this. There should be a Busby Berkeley musical happening
there
in the lobby
the
that it
Rockettes.
Welcomes you to the auditorium.
Let's go to the movies. See the movies. Let's go see the stars. Red lights, holler, big depression. What do we care?
I loved just the perspective of Annie being like, well, the movie was kind of slow and boring, but I really liked the part where the ladies were dancing and wearing the pretty costumes.
How do we feel about how much of the movie they're watching we got in this? Because I was taken aback. Again, this is one of those things I wonder if they cut out of the TV viewing. But like, we watch like I feel like we watch like a couple scenes of another movie.
I know.
And what was the other movie? I didn't even realize what it was.
What was it? Something with
Camille?
Greta Garbo?
It was Camille,
I think?
Wasn't it? Or something
Camille?
Like that?
It was Greta Garbo.
Yeah, Camille was the name of that movie. Yeah.
But I kept showing so much of this movie. Surely this is going to have some sort of parallel to the story we're watching.
Maybe John Huston just really liked that movie?
It came out a few years after this movie was actually took place because the movie took place during 33. Camille was 36. And I was thinking like 33, if they're going to the movies, that's a good, pretty good chance. It's not like were talkies. Wasn't it 34 that talkies were invented? I think either way,
it was before that.
It was like 28.
Yeah, 20. Yeah,
28. Okay, okay. So they're definitely watching a talkie.
I feel like I mean,
yeah, they're seeing like this is like a you know pre-code stuff. You know.
Yeah, but
they could have been watching Duck Soup.
Oh, Annie, you missed the nudity.
they could have. I have to assume then that John Huston just wanted to put a Camille clip in there. Like
that's,
he just liked
the feeling
movie.
It has. It's just like we're just gonna sit.
He just likes that one.
Sit down. Yeah, and watch another movie briefly.
I don't know this movie, but yeah, it's Greta Garbo and Lionel Barrymore and
But I did have a thought while watching this, like that, where the movie just stops, like, let's go to the movie. Our movie's great. And I just had a thought where I'm like, is this like the 80s equivalent to like the pre-show opening of like, thanks for coming out to the movies. We really appreciate it. It supports hundreds of people, blah, blah, blah.
This movie deserved to be seen in the theaters. Yeah, maybe so. They were already trying to save the movies in 82.
Because we need that right now.
Yeah, VHSs are a new thing.
So true, King. Anyway, so we went to the movies. We had our nice little family day. And meanwhile, back at the orphanage, Hannigan and her no good slimy brother Tim Curry
and Bernadette Peters.
And Bernadette Peters show up. Slimy in this. He really just looks like a scumbag.
I mean, how much of that is his tiny little mustache?
The mustache is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
And
but of
his
course,
collection of fake mustaches.
Tim Curry is always good at playing a slime ball. But so,
do you guys think I could pull that mustache off?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. I'm getting good. I'm feeling positive reception
feeling
to that.
Awesome. I do. As we
they
said,
look,
I think
they're funny though. I don't know. They're good. Like little.
They're great. I really liked them. I mean, it's Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters.
Yeah. What's not to love? But they show up. They're, you know, also lowlifes like Hannigan. And the first time we see them, he's like, can I borrow $30 till Friday? And she's like, get the fuck out. But then
I almost feel like we don't, you know, talking about this movie being overstuffed, I feel like we don't need that first scene with them. Because they just show up to establish they're scummy. Mm-hmm. Nothing really they do moves the plot along other than establishing they're scummy.
Well,
and I think we don't need that. I think we can know they're scummy from the first time we see
them. We get that gag of Bernadette Peters trying to hide some jewelry down her blouse, which is a
fun. It's almost like those can be combined or something.
I think so.
It's like it happens and then they leave, and it's kind of like, what happened in that scene?
There's like two or three little cut back to the orphanage scenes that I feel like lose the momentum a little bit.
Yeah,
I agree. The scene where she literally takes a booze bath.
Oh, yeah, well, we have to establish her bathtub gin.
That can't be good for you sitting in there. No, especially for a woman. No, I don't know. I'm sorry. There's a lot going on.
She would be deeply ill.
I'm no doctor, but I do think if you submerged your body into a bathtub of liquor, I do think you would die. I think of alcohol poisoning. Like, that would absorb into your skin.
Into the dermis, yeah. But anyway.
Like, I'm not kidding. Don't do that, listeners, please.
We got back to
you'll do that often. I do that sometimes. Yeah.
Well, only sometimes. Just a little dunk.
You ever try? Yeah, try it. You know, they do that in other countries and stuff. You know?
Yeah, maybe they'll do it in a Jackass movie someday, and then we'll know if we can do it or not.
Meanwhile, Daddy Warbucks is Jackass. I think we get it's the backstory.
I'm Daddy Warbucks.
I'm Daddy Warbucks. He notices Annie's her locket that she has the one half and he's like, oh well, I'll take you to Tiffany's and buy you a brand new one. She's like, no, I like this one because you know, that's how my parents will find me someday.
My deadbeat parents will find me.
And so he puts out
God,
the word.
It's so fucking Ray. It's so sick.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Once again, J.J. Abrams fucking hack.
Oh my
there
god!
There was a little orphan Annie. In
you want a lightsaber? No.
Mr. Warbuck, I have to go back to Jakku.
I know. It's like, yeah, I don't want that lightsaber. I'm gonna go back to Jakku. You're right. It's crazy.
So he puts the word out of if you are little orphan Annie's parents, please come to me. And he's gonna, you know, offer like a huge reward. But it's the Depression, and so a lot of
is this the tomorrow scene?
That's a good question, because yes, before, okay, so the yes, people show up to try to be like, oh, I'm Annie's parents, oh, I'm Annie's parents, and they're like, we can't let Annie see this, this is fucked up. So, Daddy Warbucks and Annie go to the White House to hang out with FDR and Eleanor.
I do like her getting, like, the helmet, her goggles taken off, and she's like in shock from what she just did.
That's really cute. Yeah. I was saying this throughout the movie, but like, she's really cute. Yeah, she's really cute. Adorable as Annie, the little girl they have.
It's a far cry, because before we started watching this, Jackie, you sent me a little video of, who was it? It was like a stage performance of Annie?
Yes, this would have been, I think, from the 70s, and it's this young performer, Allison something, but she's performing Hard Knock Life at, I want to say, like the Tonys. And
this is so good. You gotta drop like the audio from
Allison
this.
Smith, a young performer, and she is delivering Hard Knock Life, like snarling the lyrics. Yes. Like the emotion is, it's chilling.
She's bringing fuck you energy to it, whereas this actress is bringing golly gee kind of energy to it.
What is the name of our Annie in the film? I think it's Aileen something. I don't know, but yeah, she's very playing the leaping lizards. Ah, shucks. Yes. Even though she can fight, and
she's
she will.
A little rascal.
She is a little rascal, and she's there's video she's full, here. She's full of moxie.
Sarah Jessica Parker playing Annie in the 80s.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see that. I bet that was adorable. but we go to the White House. We hang out with FDR and Eleanor, and we finally convince Daddy Warbucks that maybe the New Deal is all right. And we sing The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow. Come what may, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love ya, tomorrow, you're only a day away.
Oh, Frank.
And this is the scene.
This is okay, Dave, you're talking about this movie being unhinged. The scene where you take a step back and you're like, what is happening in this scene? Annie is essentially getting the New Deal to pass because
she sang a nice little song.
She sang not only just some song, she sang Tomorrow, the song,
hey,
like
FDR, you know that new funding you've been looking for.
The song Tomorrow is responsible for in this universe for the passage, presumably, of the New Deal, which is a little unhinged. I will give you that, and
ironically, this we've just landed on the scene, the moment when she starts singing Tomorrow and Daddy Warbucks is like, oh, this is the scene that finally burst through the Looney Tunes crap craziness, and I actually felt something for a second, because she delivers
this.
This is it.
You weren't feeling stuff before this?
No, because it was too Looney Tunes.
You don't feel things when you're watching Looney Tunes?
No, not what the movie wants me to. It was such a thing where I was just like, does the movie really think that it's like hitting in those emotional things? Because I don't understand how it could. Because it's
I'll say I don't like totally love this movie or anything like that. I do think it's kind of flawed, but I think that is the thing it has going for it is the emotions. Like, it's just only emotion. And I think
but
that
I couldn't. To each their, I guess everyone responds differently. I need to watch this non-stoned, but like, this was the one moment that felt genuine to me, that they weren't playing it for cartoonish farce.
Which is also funny, even because then it's the, FDR the being like, office. Come on, Oliver, come on, Eleanor,
well, no,
sing.
It's a moment where the movie feels like it feels real in its emotionality for a second, because it's just, I know the setting is crazy, they're in the White House, but it's just her and it's just Daddy Warbucks, and she's just like, I feel genuine emotion here, that they're not playing it up to 11 in Looney Tunes level. It's like, I'm going to be emotional, real for a second.
It's also the only time that they say, like, sing this song, too. Because it's usually in a musical, you're not really singing.
The diegetic versus non-diegetic,
And there's a brief moment where Daddy Warbucks isn't saying anything. He's not going, what? He's just listening.
and just looking fondly at the child.
Yes, and I'm like... And it makes me wish I could see the version that Ryan you were talking about, where it's more a subdued performance. It's not like blah blah blah. It's not I'm rich capitalist. It's more or less like I'm a serious guy. You know, I got responsibilities. Like I would
loosen up, guy. Yeah.
Yes, well, I would love to see that version.
You know, Bartertown does still stage Annie. You know, at times, so maybe you can see it someday and take it in a more because there's something also to be said of you know the magic of a live performance where maybe some things.
I mean, I think you would cry watching it.
To each their own. And like I said, this movie I think definitely has problems. Lots of things I would change about it. But the last thing I would want is a subdued, like gritty, real Annie.
I don't want to be subdued, gritty. I don't want just gritty. Like, it was just so cartoonish. I couldn't get into it.
Well, I will say, and I partly was nostalgia of it all, but yeah, when she starts singing Tomorrow, I got emotional as well.
It's an incredible song.
It's like I was saying, this and
Hard Knock Life are just like absolute. You know, it's like Wicked, right? Like there's songs in Wicked, but everyone knows like Defying Gravity and Popular. You know, there's like some of these musicals just have these like.
Yeah. Like I watching Wicked, like I was like, "Oh, this is from Wicked." Like hearing those songs,
you're like, "Oh, I've heard this a million times." The my other nostalgic thing for this song, my dad used to like it would crack me up like every single time. He'd be like, he'd go usually like trying to tuck me in or something, so he's trying to not crack me up, but it'd be like, "You go tomorrow, I'll get ya tomorrow."
I'll get ya tomorrow.
It works every time. I'll get ya. And honestly, that's kind of the theme of Annie, the character. She's like very sweet, very, but she'll get ya.
We got Annie. We got Annie.
Anyway, then after
I do
this,
like the dancing in that scene, but it's like, it's a weird thing.
The vibe is weird, but after this point, it's like, you know what? You can't send Annie back after a week. You got to adopt her because we're a family now. We love each other. And so he's like, yes, all right. There's also the romance between him and Grace, which I don't really care about. But
that's just like, why is that in the movie?
It's, you know, what it is what it is. But then the vibe of We Got Annie is a little weird, but it's still triumphant, you know. And Daddy Warbucks goes back to the orphanage to formally adopt Annie from Miss Hannigan. And she tries to feel up on him. She mispronounces some words comedically. Bonus Irie's, I believe, is in there. And meanwhile, he busts your scene wide open of like, yeah, I've got your rap sheet. It's fucking mile long. So you better adopt me this kid or I'm going to kill you. And so
well,
she
you
does.
Could say I have a moral obligation to bring you down for your crimes, but I won't.
But I won't. And then kind of at this point, it is kind of like, all right, great. Let's can we wrap this up soon? But we still have to do the, you know, slimy brother Rooster and his girlfriend and Hannigan being like, we're gonna pretend to be Annie's parents and then get the money and blah, blah, blah.
And we get an extended sequence that should be cut off like 5 minutes sooner.
Well, I think this is where the characters, like, this is how we should meet them, I almost feel like. Like, this should be, I wouldn't be mad if this is the first time we saw them.
But it's, and I do like the, Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters like show up in their disguises to like show Hannigan like, look, we can get away with it. You don't even, they pretend to be like, we are poor folk and we gave up our little Annie, but we have a humble home and some chickens. And then they like pull off their wigs and mustaches.
No,
like,
it's
see,
us.
It was us. Yeah. I like that
so
scene.
We talked about this sequence, like the one where they like hatch the plan is going on too long. Did you guys see what I saw about the Chattopedia about this song, about this number? So
that they had a three-way
from
afterwards?
The Chattopedia.
They do look like they're gonna have a three-way.
They do. This in the production, for some insane reason, this was planned as the biggest number.
Really?
They built like special sets. Okay, so obviously they didn't use it, right?
I was gonna say, this takes place in like a bedroom.
They built special sets for it, including like an outdoor set. The whole scene cost more than $1 million. It took a week to shoot, but then after they took a look at it, they were like, this sucks. And they totally reshot it and redid it. after like all, the movie
crazy.
Was done.
Wow.
You think they're just so, like, these are our three biggest stars really in
I
the movie,
guess
maybe?
So.
Like, let's like, do something big with them all? Because they're all, those people are all famous at that point.
Well, it's so weird because it's none of, it's all like, it's not the crux of the movie. Like the yeah. it's like the, we're hatching a plan
they
song.
They really
not,
were just like, we've got Bernadette Peters. We should really have her sing something.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so
maybe they had some vision of like they could. I'm just trying to think, you know, because they're singing about like what it'll be like when they get the $50,000,
and they're so singing maybe, like we'll be on Easy Street.
Yeah, so maybe there is going to be some surreal like they're on literal Easy Street, and there's like stuff happening, like rich people stuff is happening in the background. Or
I
something.
Guess that
like,
sounds
dreamlike.
Okay,
I see.
But
yeah, like a dream, like one of those like kind of
Dream
like,
ballet?
Yeah, like a dream ballet in like American in Paris or something, you know? Or,
right.
I mean, yeah, but wow, they were like, oh, fuck this. Oh, I can't believe we burned $1 million.
It didn't work.
Jesus.
Let's just dance around and have Carol Burnett walk into a wall a
few
times.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fine. It's fine. Just next scene.
Ever walk into that's what she is. She's very much like a, you know, that's kind of her vibe. It's just like, have Carol Burnett walk into. I love her,
we'll
though,
have,
yeah.
I know, that yeah. But so they do. The crux of how they're going to get their plan to work is that Annie's, real parents don't have the other half of the locket. Miss Hannigan had it.
So,
the whole time.
Oh yeah, when they go to the box of like, oh, I know Annie's stuff. Like, I know
she's
her.
She's got
like,
all
her,
the valuables of the children.
What if Carol Burnett? Okay, here's my take. Carol Burnett goes, finds the box, looks at it. Palpatine.
Really?
Annie,
yeah,
Palpatine?
It's literally like, yeah, like her, you know, her whole story has been just kept from.
Oh my God. But so yeah, they'll have the other half of the locket to prove that they are, in fact, Annie's real parents, and they'll get the $50,000. So they do that, and then Daddy Warbucks is like, well, okay, I mean, tears, go ahead. Yeah, I guess I can't keep this child from her parents. There's also a fun little exchange there where they're just like, oh, we'd do it even without the money. He's like, okay, I'll keep the check. And then, well, but we could use the money. It would help a lot, of course. So they run off, they take the girl, they run off with her, and the dog too, I think, which like, why would you bring the dog with you? And then it's just like, oh no, the Eddie's in the hands of these bad guys. And the,
well,
and
I
the,
forgot to mention that the orphans overhear like
yes.
the evil plans.
The
of
orphans who are always crawling around the walls and the vents
because they
of the orphanage.
This house that Miss Hannigan lives in, they're a virus that has infected her.
There's anywhere between 20 and 100 orphans scurrying around.
Dave, what you're kind of saying is good direction for the, you know, for some, if you were just trying to talk about like what you want this to look like. I want these orphans to be infesting. You know, yeah.
They are an infestation of orphans.
I probably also hate my job if that's my reality.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, imagine that scene, you not probably won't get this, Ryan, but imagine that scene in the last story of Creepshow where the guy is overrun by cockroaches. She is being overrun in the same way by orphans. They're
my
spilling
children.
Out of doors.
I hate this gig. I hate it. The orphans, yeah, overhear the plans, so they have to get over to.
They like scale the building by escaping.
They do
like
some
jump
shit
out the window and scale the building.
They're doing some like Mission Impossible shit to to try to get to Daddy Warbucks.
Well,
to tell
speaking of Mission
truth.
Impossible, we'll get to that with the climax.
Oh,
that
Jesus,
shocked
yeah.
me.
I know.
Oh yeah, we get like an action scene ending.
it really is like the orphans are like, Daddy Warbucks, and those are bad people. And, he, and Daddy Warbucks is like, leaping lizards, bad people.
Bad people.
So they all rush, you know, Annie's.
My been, heart has been softened just enough to hear the pleading of these orphans.
Of these orphans. yeah, Annie meanwhile is just like, y'all never get away with this to the bad guys. And then they're just like, fuck you, we'll kill you before we let our plans slip away.
But she's a genius because Annie is smart. She's like, I gotta pee. You gotta let me out so I can pee.
And they're like, yeah, okay. Immediately books it. And then like, Yeah, we end up scaling a building.
This is the same thing I used to get out of the store when I don't want to work here anymore, as I just threatened to pee my pants.
Oh, damn, I gotta pee.
I'm gonna pee my pants if you don't let me leave.
All right, go.
Fine.
And this is where it gets more real, where it's just like, if this movie just went a degree off, it would be like Tim Curry pulling out a gun, be like, I'm going to kill that little girl.
I mean, he is like, I'm going to kill her. No, there's a great bit where it's like, I'm going to kill you. And then Carol Burnett's like,
oh my
God,
he's
going to
do
really going to kill her.
Yeah. Which is like, whoa, that's too far.
Yeah, I just rough them up.
I abuse children. I don't kill them.
And there's this movie gets surprisingly real at times. Like they drive up to this, Annie leads them
to
like a bridge
or something. Yeah,
like a railroad bridge that goes over like water or something.
It's like the final scene of an action. It's like a Terminator. It would end in this.
Tim Curry, like Miss Hannigan realizes, oh God, Tim Curry's gonna kill her. Like that's too far. And then he like punches her out. And there's a moment when it cuts back to Annie's, who's climbing down. She looks down and sees this like. Oh no!
She's
like,
scared.
I don't like Miss Hannigan, but you
just crossed
the line,
like
buddy.
On the floor, like passed out from being hit by Tim Curry. It's arresting.
It's so luckily we have like a helicopter, and we do have, as we said, the telekinetic Indian man who Daddy Warbucks, everyone, all the orphans. They get to the scene where it's the climax. This was another part that even though it is cartoonish, everything that's happening. There's like a moment it's just on Annie's face, and you can see like the tears and because she's like hanging on a bridge. And
this
I'm just
is
like,
the kid actor
like,
being
oh
good.
Oh my
he's
god!
Gonna, like,
someone
drop her.
Someone help her! Someone help that little
it's
girl!
Insane. Like,
yeah,
it's
well,
like,
when we were watching this,
like there are several scenes in this movie with this helicopter. It's like one of the things that establishes Daddy Warbucks as being like this billionaire.
A billionaire.
He has a helicopter,
yeah.
And it's the 30s.
They call it something like aerocopter or something.
Not like nowadays when everyone has a helicopter.
Well, but like it was funny. Like I gotta imagine, like in 1981, was to the lead up to Annie. Was it similar to Mission Impossible? It's like, so we're gonna show you this the stunt sequence with the helicopter at the end of Annie.
We were watching like the trailers or like teaser trailers for Annie, and one of them it was the little girl who played Annie. She was on the holding onto the helicopter as it was in the air, and was like, I hope. To see you guys in the movies, summer of 82.
Thanks for supporting the movies.
John Huston's in the other plane filming the promo. Like, hey, Annie, you ready for next summer?
I know you can watch this movie at home on your new VCR, but we think that Annie is best experienced in the majesty of cinema. I'll be there with my popcorn. Will you?
Be sure to watch it in Dolby Stereo.
You can't get that at home with your mono TV.
It has she's that vibe a little that, bit. Yeah. And I wanted to ask, as someone who's... So you guys have seen the play, right?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, probably not since I was like little.
Yeah,
Does it end with the helicopter rescue sequence?
No, I'm pretty sure it's just like... it's a very... like Scooby-Doo ending, like kind of thing. Like we're just like, no, that's not them. Like, you know, that's actually, you know, those aren't your parents at all.
I'm sure the extent of the action is, yeah, like holding Annie's arm and being like, I've got her.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're probably fighting and like the Secret Service kind of comes in and just like,
okay.
Like it just like kind of takes him away kind of thing. Like take him away, yeah. That kind of thing. You know?
Sure, yeah.
This is quite the departure, though.
Yeah. I don't imagine too many stunts.
It's
in
probably
the
not a big old
production.
Yeah, big old chase like this and stuff. I think it's really that seems like it's one of those added on things. You know,
they're like
it wouldn't be
the
too
magic of cinema.
If it was just like at the bottom of the stairs at the mansion,
so
like, I think
I was wouldn't hit I was heart. Double checking. Actually, in the play version, Annie scales the roof, scales the Dubai skyscraper.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, after she. drives one car through a skyscraper into the one next door.
Oh, right,
I mean,
right, yeah.
President FDR has initiated orphan protocol.
Orphan protocol. That's when Annie makes everyone else an orphan.
Jackie, you're confusing Fast and Furious with Mission Impossible.
Well, I think Tom Cruise should try doing that in real life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? Sure. Then call me.
Yep. Yep.
But everything ends happily. Annie and Daddy Warbucks are reunited, and she.
Well, we gotta give props to the wizard guy.
And the wizard did save her life.
He does a Tom Cruise stunt and saves her.
It's it's magical, maybe literally magical. But there's,
when he says something like profound about like child's have to be wonder brave or something, whatever.
And yeah, it says that he's Buddhist, even though I think this man is Indian. I don't know. Anyway,
Buddhists in India.
Okay, sure. He was wearing a turban, which feels more Sikh.
Well,
to
that's
me,
what he
uses. Anyway.
He uses his turban. He unwraps it and like, uses it as like a harness or something to like hold himself down.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I don't know.
So
I don't know what you're talking about, Jackie. It's a very sensitive and nuanced portrayal of Indian culture.
Anyway, so yes, Andy is saved, reunited with Daddy Warbucks. He, and now they're, you know, finally family. And doesn't he like, he adopts Molly, her little friend too?
I don't know. Like,
they're all kind of there at the party.
They're all there. You get the vibe that like they'll be taken care of or something.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And we get the big final musical number. I love you, Daddy Warbucks.
We're gonna have a party at Mar-a-Lago. Come join us.
Oh no. Yeah, big old flashy end musical number. With the funniest part of which is Miss Hannigan starts to be led in on an elephant, and then they take her right back out, as in like, hey, you think maybe you're going to get a reward in this, but you're not. But you're still not. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, everyone lives happily ever after.
We get that great, like, surreal scene of the fireworks over the mansion that's, like, superimposed. Or whatever.
And
it looks
like
it's very, like,
the
theater
fireworks
looking. I actually really loved the way that this looks at the end.
Same. I thought it looked cool.
Like the lights on the mansion, everything. Like you could totally imagine this being the play, like the set backdrop and everything. And yeah, I think it looks cool. I like this ending a lot. And we kind of get like a reprise of Tomorrow, and it ends with like the, which is interesting because like we never really got until the end credits like a full on Tomorrow.
Yeah, there's not
song.
Really. They don't really play it up big in this movie.
Yeah,
they really hold it. Hold it tight, which is an interesting choice because it's such a good song.
They're like, well, we really want we want more focus on the original songs, of course, which everybody loves
and she
remembers.
Also gets her signature Annie outfit, the red outfit. She's got her outfit, and then at the end when the press comes and asks her what her name is, she's like, my name is Annie Warbucks.
Yep. And then credits.
I'm so glad that we found another layer.
Cut to Dave in a cold sweat.
What a fucking hack J.J. Abrams is.
It says, so there's a couple things. It says that, what's it called here? Someone of the critics in here says, like, they downplayed the hit song Tomorrow because Stark thought it was too corny. That's the producer of the movie.
Oh, what? That's some poor judgment.
It's the whole freaking thing, Annie.
That might be
for,
one of the all time worst studio notes I've ever
People
heard.
People don't want that wild, corny shit Tomorrow. And it's like,
let's get more Easy Street in there.
Let's extend that sequence. No, it's like, of course, Annie is corny.
We need another song about the dog.
Well, I think that's just the case of like the time too. It's just like they're not really like
it's self-conscious.
It's like halfway. It's like half a step, kind of like
If this were made in 1987, it would have all been Tomorrow. We would have heard Tomorrow like 10 times.
Well, and yeah, you're right. And it does feel like a movie. It's just too bad the musical didn't exist till the 70s because it does feel like a movie that like probably would be as big as like Singing in the Rain if it came out in like the
or Sound of Music or something
in like earlier, like in the 60s or 50s or something.
I kind of want to talk about some of the alternate casting or like casting options.
I was also looking at some of that.
We got to go over this. Let's start with the Tim Curry character. Just throwing out this, so these are some other people that were considered for the role. Just imagine the movie, how the movie would be here. Mick Jagger.
What?
Steve, it's me, Rooster.
Steve Martin.
Your favorite.
My favorite, Steve Martin.
Well, that would have been him.
Jack
and,
Nicholson,
him and Bernadette Peters.
Which seems like an insane.
Is Nicholson in there?
And Mickey Rooney was another one.
Mickey that one Rooney is the craziest.
I'm going to say, like, I think for this role, Tim Curry is way better than any of those other choices.
You're right, though. Jack is right, though. Reuniting with Steve Martin and Bernadette Peters would be, like,
Martin
electric.
And Peters.
It would be just, like...
What were they in together? Were they in The Jerk?
Yeah, The Jerk, yeah.
Weren't they together IRL for a time, I want to say?
Yeah, maybe.
That would have been sexy, but yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been
our little girl. Here's our half of the locket.
Do you have who the alternates were for Daddy Warbucks?
Remind me, please.
So Cary Grant was considered for the role, but then the big one here, Mr. Bond himself, Sean Connery.
Oh wow,
Arnie.
Who I think I do love this Daddy Warbucks. I mean, I think it's truly iconic. But I would also of all these alternate castings, I think Sean Connery as Daddy Warbucks is really good, and I would be interested to see that.
Damn it, Annie!
God damn it, Annie!
This is kind of can I show something kind of funny? Just that, like a kind of, I found a bug in the Chattopedia.
Uh-oh.
Oh. I'm just gonna share and have maybe Dave, you can explain what's going on. So like, you like, you know how you like can put over your cursor over.
So Ryan has pulled up the Chattopedia cast portion of Annie, and he's moving over the names. And you know how when you're moving your cursor over things like hyperlinks, it'll show a little preview.
Yeah, preview.
You know, you got the actress that played Eleanor Roosevelt, Luis de Baniz.
Bunzi.
Then you got, you know, there's one of Eleanor Roosevelt, a little older, and then you go First Lady, and you're like, whoa!
Oh God. Get jump scared by that fucking ghoul Melania.
Yeah, it was something. I was like, why is Melania in the Annie wiki?
Oh, get her out of here.
Yeah, that's unusual. Yeah, the way it's pointed, the way it's put out on the Chattopedia, it's like you have a hyperlink of the actress playing Eleanor Roosevelt. So it's like this actress is playing Eleanor Roosevelt. There's a link
historical
to
figure,
Roosevelt,
yeah.
The first
who lady. Was the first lady of the United States, and then first lady is a link that takes you to
the page
Melania
for the first
Trump.
Lady,
which is like, I don't know who's doing this Wikipedia, but you don't need to do that.
You can change that photo if we
you
want.
You don't need that link. Yeah, that
honestly, no. Like the hyperlink for first lady should be Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah, come on. Anyway,
it should be Eleanor Roosevelt.
It was just something that like really
it should be Eleanor Roosevelt all the way down on those hyperlinks.
Every hyperlink should be Eleanor Roosevelt. We should all learn more about her. I know that they cast obviously like an unknown child actor, but wasn't it they like started with like or they looked at like 70,000 fucking kids or something?
70,000.
That's one of those things where, like, when you think about casting calls for movies like this, where especially for a child actor, where they really have to just find the perfect kid, it's like, I can't imagine being a casting director and looking at that many actors.
Yeah, right?
No, it was...
I think they did a good job. Like, this is something we didn't really touch on much, but the kid crushes it, and I think it really would sink or swim
She knows karate!
Sink or swim on her performance, and she knocks it out of the park.
Yeah,
like,
she's
all-timer.
Really good. But yeah, I mean, if the child lead was a stinker, yeah, that would be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm trying to say, it just looks like she was in a few things after, but like nothing crazy. That first couple years, though, a lot of TV specials and musicals.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Can I just say one other thing? So in addition to... So as far as things that shocked me with this movie, the overall cartoonish tone about very not cartoonish things... there was one moment at the end. So the face thing, the stepping on the kid's face shocked me. Another thing that shocked me that I wasn't expecting was this line uttered by Tim Curry at the end of the movie.
Come back here, you goddamn kid!
I was not expecting that from Annie. Like, you fucking kid, get back here, you piece of shit!
There's a moment where the Warbucks goes, damn, and he goes, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
But I was not expecting a goddamn. That shocked
God
me.
Damn.
I wanted God to point damn. Out something about Annie, the actress who played her, the kid, Aileen Quinn. So this movie was some of the like exterior for Warbucks. His house is Monmouth University. That's what they used. When she grew up, she became a theater professor at Monmouth University.
Oh, wow. I love that.
She also apparently had her own band called Aileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards. So
right. That's
I
really
think she's
cute.
Doing. She was doing okay.
I was expecting you
good
to say
her.
Something like another revelation we had going back to Air Force One. She's actually a Pritzker. She's one of the richest people in the world.
Yeah, she's a billionaire's daughter. Her last name is actually Warbucks.
Oh yeah.
legal name.
From the real war books. Yeah. That is, I mean, it has
no,
to be
I don't,
said.
I don't think the, as far, if her Wikipedia entry is to be, Chattopedia, excuse me, I don't think she had any particular upbringing that of note other than she was
a child
doing
actor
theater.
Was in Nanny. I do have to say, as far as character names go, Oliver Daddy Warbucks is a really fantastic one. How do we relay that this character is a capitalist through and through? I think his name should be Warbucks. Yeah.
You know, can I throw out an embarrassing admission?
Yes.
So I've heard that name before. I had no idea it was linked to this movie.
Well, the character.
Like, I feel like Daddy Warbucks is used as like a reference a lot, like when talking about rich people or whatever. I never knew what that was from until now.
Wow. Annie. This is like a real I never saw Predator or something growing up, Dave. Yeah.
There was also, it reminded me of in the Powerpuff Girls, there's a character who's like an basically evil Annie, but she is the daughter of like a super rich guy, and she becomes like a villain to the Powerpuff Girls, and her name is Princess Moorbucks.
How did they get away with that?
She's got like the curly red hair.
You know too that the musical is the where we get the phrase tomorrow, right?
They invented that word, yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow wasn't a word before.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I mean, it was like a thing in like old English, but it wasn't something people really like said commonly until after this movie came out.
They'll say like, "I'll see you day."
Is this working? Am I convincing you, Dave?
No. His face is not amused.
No, the high is worn off, Mike. You can't trick me.
I thought I had a chance there to buffalo you.
I always got Daddy Warbucks mixed with Rich Uncle Pennybags. You
know? I mean, Pennybags.
Pennybags sounds like he's poor compared to Warbucks.
Warbucks is like I know how that makes.
Warbucks
his
is
money.
Like I sell defense contracts.
Yes. I'm a war profiteer.
I am literally, it's literally war profiteer. Like,
can I hit you guys up with Ebert's blurb on this movie?
Oh, please do. Always. He said there's not enough bouncing boobies.
Well, so Ebert gave this, it seems like he was one of the few people who gave this a favorable rating.
He gave it three out of four stars.
It wasn't like that poorly. I think it was fair to say it was mixed. So, like, people liked it. People didn't like it. But I don't think it was like a negatively received movie. I think that's a bit much.
Ebert says of Annie, it was, quote, so rigorously machine-made, so relentlessly formula, that the film is not about anything, despite its series of scenarios. But nonetheless, I sort of enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the energy that was visible on the screen and the sumptuousness of the production numbers and the good humor of several of the performances. So he was kind of into it. He's like, it's a big, dumb movie, and I liked it.
You know, I guess I don't disagree.
I think that's getting to the maybe what Ryan was saying at the beginning of, like, we're starting to see the beginning of the stuff to the Brills of the 80s blockbuster. Yeah. And this is kind of one of those first, it was just like, Jesus, this is a lot. Like, this is like a barrage of...
There's a lot of big celebrities in it and stuff.
It is, I will say, since it is an adaptation of a stage musical, it's a lot easier for a stage play musical to not be about anything and for you to kind of not care as much about, for you know, the plot reasons for that, as opposed to a movie where you're like, so why did that happen? You know, there's different mediums have different... expectations, and it's not too uncommon in theater where you're like, is that about anything? Did they do anything? No, it's just musical numbers. All right, I'm okay. You know, the end of the day.
So it kind of got mixed reviews, but it did end up, against all odds, it was the 10th highest grossing film of the year.
Damn.
It grossed $57 million against a budget of $35 million, which at that time was that's the budget of Return of the Jedi, just for context. But oddly though, despite being the 10th highest grossing film of the year, it failed to make a profit for Columbia.
Sorry.
I bet it eventually did with the VHS. Sorry. And the TV.
And we should point out it did get 2 Oscar noms for art direction and original score.
Did anyone ever see the remake in 20?
I didn't see it.
Quvenzhané Wallace. I did not see it. I just remember the really gross racism against that little girl at the time of like, you can't cast a black person and it's just like, I don't think the film was especially well made. I never really heard anything great about it, but it's just like, Why do you have to be racist against this little girl singing Annie? Come on.
I just remember the trailer for that movie. They didn't really look good. Played up the Hard Knock Knife, but it was more like, duh.
I know. They're like, duh, let's put some, duh, and also, duh, what was it? Cameron Diaz as Hannigan and every
like one of
clip
her last
that
movies,
I saw.
I feel like,
Cameron Diaz is no Carol Burnett.
No, God, no. So yeah, it's probably a nothing of a movie, but I just remember people being quite cruel to that little girl.
Well, I do remember that. Yeah, that was unfortunate. But I think the thing that sticks with me about that remake was like the hype for it.
Yeah.
Like the trailer made it seem like you've all been waiting for us to come back to Annie. We
like,
got
no one,
Annie again.
No one really cares about Annie. It's,
no. Just, they made it seem like the event of the year. Annie's back.
Everybody's favorite little orphan.
Yeah, it's sort of. I remember. Yeah, that she wasn't. That was like Cameron Diaz's like last movie for like 10 years.
Yeah,
She didn't like. It looks like she was in Annie, and then she came. It was finally in 2025. Came back with the Netflix
Jonah
movie
Hill thing.
Back in action. I don't know. I thought it was this is Looney Tunes, but no, it's
Looney Tunes back in action.
Jamie Foxx, Cameron Diaz back in action. That does not exist. Whatever that is, I don't know.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
2014. It should have been Kristen Wiig or something.
That would have been good.
That would have been really good. Wow.
I want
to see her like chain smoking around the kids. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bound. They're bound to do another Annie like with it's almost like that was a year. Maybe it was like too early. For like these current day, like because we're now in like a plethora of like crappy musical
remakes,
adaptation, like you know the biopics and stuff. But people, it's one of the two movies people go to see in theaters that year. You know
musical
I mean?
Biopics,
yeah, with like so overly overtuned, I do
like
that's,
just to give some context and timestamp this date, I mean. Our you know good old the Michael movie made almost $100 million this weekend.
God.
So just saying, just to give some context, it's one of two movies people will go see that year. It's going to be this type of stuff. So.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and of course, Michael will return in Doomsday.
Yeah,
gotta throw that out there
somehow.
Michael returns. All right. Well, getting into recommendations, Ryan, let's start with you. Would you recommend 1982's John Huston Annie?
Have we for real quick for just anyone to listen? We've said John Huston a bunch. We should probably say like what John Huston has done. Everyone listening might not know.
One of the great filmmakers of his day.
Maltese Falcon, right? That was him. Treasure of Sierra Madre, The African Queen. He was the villain in Chinatown, which is an incredible.
Oh, he's also the voice that Miss Hannigan is listening to on the radio.
On the radio, yeah.
You know what?
What?
I love you.
I know.
Kiss me as only you can.
You devil.
That was wild. That
He's
was
like
what the hell?
Wink, here I am. Go ahead, Brian.
Would you recommend Annie?
Yeah, I mean it's an uneven movie, but there's good stuff in it. I like the songs. I mean, I would go see the play, like if you can. Like even like watching like a local thing do it, like young people and stuff. I think it'll really hit
with real kids.
The songs will be
great community theater.
Yeah, like I think it'll. You have like some guy in a big dog suit crawling his hands and legs and stuff. I think the songs will end up feeling, you'll get that emotion that Dave was looking for that he didn't get with his induced weed coma he was in on this movie. But there's
don't do drugs, kids.
But there's good stuff. I like these like
don't do drugs. You'll end up like Dave.
Yeah. Like a lot of these actors I love and stuff, like, you know, but they're in a lot of great stuff, a lot of good Muppet stuff. All these actors have been in Muppet stuff and they've watched them on The Muppet Show, all three of the main three of these.
Oh, yeah. Those antagonists, you'll find them on The Muppets.
They're, so, there's stuff in here, but like, it's.
Why isn't there a Muppets Annie? Why has no one made that?
With Rolf as the dog.
Miss Piggy as Miss Hannigan? Come on.
Yeah, I think.
Kermit is Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, I think
Miss Piggy is horny, so she'd be perfect as Miss Hannigan.
You know, I'll be the contra. I'll say, like, because you can't recommend every movie. I'm going to say no. I don't recommend the Annie movie. Wow. But I do think that there's stuff in there.
Wow.
Though.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can watch a couple of clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I also would not recommend 1982's Annie. I would recommend watching a theater production of this
movie. I like the movie. I just don't. I don't
know. Or the story, rather.
It's not good enough to recommend, in my opinion. But.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend this movie. I think it's fun. I think it has flaws, but I think this is like, it's got some just iconic movie moments. It's got some of a few delightful sequences here. And I like the we're going to the movies thing is like one of the best things I've seen in a while. I feel like I just like loved it. I think the songs do hit. It's messy and it has some issues for sure. I don't think this is a masterpiece or anything like that. But I think this is a super fun movie that I think the big thing you get is like the pathos, like the emotion for Annie and feeling for her. And even for the lesser characters, I think you feel for like Daddy Warbucks and like not feel for him, but he becomes more relatable, even though he's like a piece of shit. And I think it's enjoyable how shitty Carol Burnett and Tim Curry and Brenda Peters are.
It's something to see.
Yeah. So no, I think this is a fun time at the movies. But I would see the play if you can probably over this, but you know, like I said, it's flawed. It's not a masterpiece, but I think it's definitely has enough going for it that I would recommend it.
Jackie.
Better than Air Force One.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
That's nuts.
As Ryan would say, you should be put up against a wall.
Yeah. Get off my plane.
I do recommend Annie. I think, I'm sure we'll say this a million times throughout this, where were you in 82? But they...
Crying about Annie.
They literally don't make them like this anymore. It's made... Some comparisons to the Wicked movies. Those look like doo-doo from a butt. And, like, they're not good. And they're two full-length movies of not good. And I would take a full-length movie with a little, I grant you, a little too much fat could be trimmed. But I love Annie.
They totally would. If they made this today, there would be an Annie part one.
Yeah.
And then there would be an Annie part
and
two.
It would go into like fucking Hannigan's backstory. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I love that she's a shitty evil woman.
We'd open the movie with like Daddy Warbucks as a child. Like,
yeah. And actually he started from nothing and he was an orphan. And I don't need any of that. I need, as we said, an even slimmed down version of this. But that said, even though a couple scenes go on a little long, I love musicals. I love even flawed movie musicals. And I love Little Miss Annie. I love Tomorrow. I love Hard Knock Life. It all works on me. And I'm now at the age where I see the little girl in peril and I'm just like, oh no, oh no, somebody help her.
Yeah.
So I recommend.
While I do love Annie, I don't know if I love the movie Annie, but
fair enough.
I was trying to think of like something similar, like a kid's musical of the time or something. And I don't know. I don't know, that one's coming to mind. All the ones I'm thinking of are pretty gnarly.
I mean, most of them tend to be more adult based, but then you get into like the Disney Renaissance of it all, and those were made by a lot of like Broadway people and musical people, and so there is a huge, you know, influence of like a classic musical structure going on in Beauty and the Beast or, you know, Aladdin.
You know, there should have been a Saturday morning cartoon of like
her
she's
adventures.
Living with Warbucks and like the adventures they
there's,
get
there's
into.
There's probably that exists. Probably,
I'm sure there is.
Because
yeah.
There's so many Annie TV things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I you know what I recommend? It's a year later. How about Barbara Streisand's Yentl was the year later.
It's very similar to
Same
Annie.
Movie.
There's a girl.
There's songs.
There's a lot of
there's songs.
There's songs and stuff, and like there's
Father,
curly,
can you hear me?
Curly hair and stuff.
You guys are such dudes. Like, you know what? Fuck Annie. Go watch Air Force One. That's a real movie.
I said
Yentl.
I don't know if
it's
Yentl
the same thing. Watch
is
another
for the boys.
Go watch Fiddler on the Roof. It's basically
go
Annie.
Watch Mandy Patinkin sing a song in his high voice.
I said watch
well,
Yentl.
When we continue on with our journey for Where Were You in 82, the month of May 1982, we'll be jumping forward 20 years, guys. We'll be visiting the 50s with Barry Levinson's Diner. A film I've actually heard a lot about. Like, a lot of people, I feel like I've heard other podcasts talk about
this. Does
this
have
this
any connection to the Pinball Table Diner?
I do not think so.
No, this was like a big one, I think, for kind of like almost like this indie vibe, I think, like the talky kind of movie. I think it sort of like signifies that a lot.
Well, I'm looking forward to this one. Change of pace here with our next film from 1982, May of 1982. We'll be returning with Diner. Until then, I gotta head back to the orphanage. Miss Hannigan's a real battle axe, you know. She's gonna throw me in her bathtub full of gin if I don't get back on time.
Are we having cold or hot mush? Did she say?
Well, if we're lucky, it's hot mush.
Yes.
Okay. That's
we'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So I didn't get this. Did you like the movie or not?
There are lots of things I didn't like. I didn't think it was good as it should have been. I expected something on the order of My Fair Lady, a great musical on film, and yet I still enjoyed it.
I'm right on the fence, too, a kind of grudging admiration. Really taken off, it would have been a little more light-footed, a little more cheerful.
They blew it, everybody except Albert Finney.
Okay.
On Annie, strange reviews. Roger found the movie brainless but fun. I like Albert Finney in the movie a lot, but I thought the film looked bad and that Annie was a bore. So, two grudging, reluctant yes votes for Annie.